Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Sha-na-na-na. Hey, 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 send me the gold stuff.
Goodbye.
Gold stuff. When Adam sings it. Yeah. I like it now, dude.
Yeah, I like it too.
It makes me feel affectionate.
Towards you. It's like a warm hug.
No, yeah. Shauna, our girl from Organifi.
We got into some good conversations today.
Yeah,
no, fun so conversations.
You can't even do it. You can't even do it. Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the wrong timing.
No, I was going to say, our girl Shauna sent us one container of the gold.
I saw you fucking took it.
He finagled it.
She's sending more.
Oh, you okay? Good.
Yeah, but it's a gold juice.
Did you try it yet?
Fucking love it.
Really
love it. It's got
what's all in it?
So it's got gold. Ginger, turmeric, reishi.
It's got turmeric in it. Horsetail. It tastes good,
yeah. Dude. It tastes like it's got like turmeric. A caramel.
Oh, you like the taste of turmeric?
It's great. No, it's got like a caramel flavor.
Turmeric tastes like fucking dirt and roots
by itself.
Yeah. This, I swear to God, it tastes good.
Mix it.
But it's like anti-inflammatory relaxing. So you're supposed to drink it at night. I've been taking it for the past like few days. I'll let you know if I notice anything with inflammation. With that, I might as well mention that Organifi.shop.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump, get a discount. All right, so we'll start the intro.
So we had some fun conversations.
We did.
Today.
We so did. For the first
Justin, Sal, and I
in this episode of Mind Pump. For the first 20 minutes, we had some regular conversation. Adam, Justin, myself, we talked about...
Hey, that's all I want you to change. I just want you to change regular, fun, crazy, right. Scary,
we talk-
interesting.
Crazy, sexy,
just change
cool.
The verb.
We talked about Justin's personality quirks.
So quirky.
And his initial distrust of me.
Nah, I still liked you, dude. Don't get yourself.
Then
Don't
we talked about a transgender woman shattering weightlifting records.
Bullshit.
And the elephant in the room.
Whoa.
And then we also talked about the origin of qua.
Oh, yeah.
Qua.
Qua.
This is a crazy episode. We got into some deeper shit.
We did.
We touched on steroids today.
Yeah.
We touched on a few quite a few things.
So the first, stretching our legs out.
So the first question was, someone wants to know, how do you build a following on social media without becoming consumed? It's like Justin can never go to the bathroom without his phone.
You know.
So I feel like that question was directed towards him.
When I do all my work.
The second question was periodization. Is it better to do it within the same week or do it for weeks on end? In other words, stay in a phase for a few weeks versus doing it, changing your workouts every single time. Our MAPS programs tend to be periodized for weeks on end. We explain why in this episode. The next question was, are we familiar with Gretchen Rubin's personality framework?
None of us were.
Yeah, and we weren't, but Justin brought it up, and it turns out I'm a questioner.
You're what?
Hey, don't forget, when you answered the first question about the social media being consumed, you were talking about your reishi with 4-sigmatic.
Oh, I love that. Yes, another one of our
make
sponsors.
Sure you plug our guys.
I love their reishi drink at night. Very relaxing. You can get a discount with them if you go to 4, spell it out, FOURSigmatic.com/mindpump. Use the code Mind Pump at checkout for a discount. And then the last question was, how would you alter the frequency of our MAPS programs if you started to take anabolic steroids? Does it change anything? It changes everything. Right. Also, this is the last time ever.
Final month we're going to do this, right?
Just ever. Right now, for $97, you can pay it once and you'll have lifetime access to our private forum. It's a great resource for fitness information. It's a great place for support. It's also a great place for funny memes and studies. And it's basically a reflection
of the
show.
For as long as Doug lives.
He'll be alive.
Because,
he's the healthiest one. Yeah. But yeah, $97, you pay it once, you're in there for life. After this month, next year, we're talking about January 2018, you're going to have to pay that annually. So you'll pay $97. And then you'll play every single year. So this is a lifetime.
Not anally.
Yeah, you pay it once, it's lifetime.
He's been wanting to say that
all
morning.
I keep trying to trip him up.
Can you tell us something?
$97 once, never have to pay it again. This is your last time to do it. Go to mindpumpmedia.com. Also, if you enroll in any of our MAPS programs or bundles, you'll get an offer on the spot to get 50% off the price of the forum on top of it. Awesome stuff going on right now. Mindpumpmedia.com.
Merry Christmas.
Let's take care of that cold, Sal.
You know what's funny is that all of us are kind of like this to an extent, right? We don't like... like, we don't like being told what to do at
that
all.
That too.
But
100%.
Justin, right. Yeah. Wow.
Like a lot.
It's so bad.
You think he's the worst, huh?
Oh, the worst. He's so bad that if you want him to do something, tell him to not do it, and he will literally do it because you told him not to.
God damn it. Like, I hate that you guys know that.
It's so funny.
That's like such ammo. The best was,
you work for me for years. So know. I tell Sal all the time, I'm like, relax. I know Justin's personality. He'll be fine. Like, how many times did I tell you that before, right? Relax.
The best was at the airport. One time when we were getting in line.
You guys totally manipulated me. I was getting pissed.
That was hilarious.
Oh, man. We were getting in line to get, to go through the line and get checked or whatever. And for whatever reason, it's turned into this thing where let's see you can pick
the faster line.
Yeah. So far, I've lost every time. I don't know. Adam got like some magic. Like he just picks the right line. I always get the slow line, even if it's short. Yeah. So anyway, Adam gets in line and Justin goes right behind him. Right.
Yeah, but I say something to him right away. I was like, Justin, this is the line. I tell him. I say, Justin, this is the line that's going to go faster.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So he's like, all right, cool. So he gets the line. I'm like, God, Justin, he's got to do what he tells you.
Like, it was a scene that just like grew.
Bro, it totally did. Because then he started to go back, and he's like standing in the middle of the two lines.
I don't want to like make Sal write about this.
So then he starts to come over to my. He comes over to my line, and then Adam's like, "Oh, are they gonna do what Sal tells you?" And then he's like stuck. Like he's like, "What do I do?" Dude, it was the funniest.
Is there a middle lane?
Something else about you, Justin. I listened to, I don't know what episode number it was. The one where we talked about where your son took his cousin's toys.
Oh, yeah.
Was the burglar maneuver. Is it 654, Doug?
My little burglar.
I don't know. I think it's one of those.
Yeah, anyway, one of the last ones.
So I was listening to it, and I realized like how much it actually bothered, like really, really bothered you.
Oh, I could totally pick up on that.
Yeah.
You could tell like, because it's his son, right? So you identify. Like, I bet you feel like you're stealing yourself because it's your kid,
well,
right?
Well, it just goes to show.
That's totally what I felt like.
100%.
It just goes to show you the level, like how much Justin values integrity. So much so that something small, like a kid, like kids do that all the time.
Right. Yeah. And that he can't control.
And but to you, it was like fundamentally like
nails
this thing that
a chalkboard.
I was listening to the episode in the car on the way here and I was like, oh shit. Which is, I mean, that's a good sign. I mean, when you're a man that values integrity so much that, you know, the smallest, lack of integrity for you is a big deal.
Well, it's also because I think he's one of those parents, and I think some parents are incredible at this and some of them not so much. He looks at his kid like it's a direct reflection of himself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some parents just aren't that way. I think some parents are just like, oh, they're going to be who they are going to be and blah, blah, blah. Everyone finds their own way.
He just values it so much. Like, I feel like, I know when we first met, because I'm a fast talker, right? So I talk a lot and fast. Whatever. I know you told me this afterwards. You looked at me and you're like, I don't trust this motherfucker. Well, I mean,
such a slick talker.
Yeah. And because, I mean, you value honesty so much that, like, if somebody even, bullshits a little bit or whatever, you feel that way.
Like, I'm done with them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
do you remember if
it's like to my detriment, too, right? It's a strength and a weakness,
Well, but it's also you're a good person. Like, when I hear something like that, I'm like, fuck, this is somebody you could trust to the grave. You know what I mean?
How long do you think it took you to warm up to each of us? Who was it harder, me or him? Do you remember?
Well, Sal. For you. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think I was more open because I was like, teach me your ways. I was like really like looking up to you coming into the industry because I was like, I came in with like total like greenhorn. Like I trained myself, but I realized quickly I was like, I don't know shit. I don't know how to train people. And like coach, like your average person. So I think I was just like, whenever I'm going into something like that, that's like a monumental shift in like, it's an industry I don't know anything about.
Right.
I'm not the kind of person that's going to come in with any kind of pride at all. Like I just can't do it.
That makes sense. So totally more open-minded.
But open-minded with you, Sal, I'm kind of like, okay, this guy. What's he all about? Because... He's got his system. We were working on something. He's really quick. Like, he's coming at me fast and hot. And I'm like, slow down, pal. I just met you. Yeah. So that kind of was the vibe.
I wasn't trying to sleep with you. If I was, I would have slowed down.
Well, listen, I don't like getting manipulated into doing weird things. You know what I mean? So all my flags are coming out.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I do talk.
I really want to do that thing with Doug.
No, I like to.
I want to do
like
that. The Doug scenarios. I think it would be.
Where he picks the scenarios.
You know what would be funny too is maybe we even have some of our forum. Give suggestions, and maybe we can even pull from them. So Taylor can make some up.
So what this is basically, someone would be interviewing Doug and would ask him in the following scenarios, who would you rather have with you between Adam?
You can only bring one with you. Yeah.
Only bring one.
Yeah. Here's your scenario. You can only bring one.
You got to go into a nightclub. You have to get a girl's phone number, or you're going to get in a gang fight, or whatever.
Right.
And he has to pick one of us.
Right. And why? I'm going to pick Sal.
I can't wait for these answers.
Right. I think it'll be hilarious. Yeah. So I think it'll be great. So we'll definitely have Taylor start working on it, and then maybe
a wet t-shirt contest. Who would you pick? Justin.
Come on.
He's got the cakes.
I got the titties.
He's got the
give me some more milk and
oh my god.
Yeah. Oh Jesus. So
too far. Excuse me.
Dude,
excuse me.
So you guys ready to hear something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna read something to you guys. So Laurel Hubbard just set new high marks in the World Masters Games in Auckland Saturday, snatching 131 kilograms and lifting 149 in the clean and jerk for a total of 280 kilos. This is reported by the New Zealand Herald. She shattered all these records. Now, there's something else that's interesting about this.
There's a catch to this.
She used to compete in the sport as a man.
Oh.
Yeah, so
and then what? The record skipped.
Yeah, so when she was he, I don't know what the name was, but she competed in weightlifting.
See, I'm completely pro.
This is such fucking bullshit.
I'm completely pro that you can do that. I just don't think that you should be able to win awards that way. I just don't think, I think it's not fair.
You know what's crazy?
It's just not fucking fair.
No,
you can change your sex all you want, compete in sports, compete with the men if you want, compete with whoever you want.
Whatever you think you are.
But if you blow by everybody as the champion and you win, you just can't.
No, dude,
it's not fair.
You know what's funny to me about this? What's funny about this, there's a couple things.
Well, our penis and our vagina are not the only things that make us. There's so much going on hormonally, our bone structure, our ligament, everything, our fibers,
testosterone.
Yes. But here's the thing, like, it's crazy to me that we've reached a point in society where we're so afraid of stating the obvious. We're going to fucking pretend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to pretend like there's a new reality. Like, it was, she was a biological man who competed in weightlifting.
Here's what I fear.
Got a sex change.
Here's what I fear.
Like, now we're convinced I can have a baby.
Well, what I fear from that is that sends kids that are younger that are playing sports seeing that as an advantage and that playing in the part of their decision of maybe even potentially wanting to do that.
It could, some people may say you're crazy, but I say
why?
If people want to win really bad, do some shit.
Oh, okay. People already that are want to be professional athletes, at least 99% of them are completely very aware of that it's not ideal for their body. They're doing things for
those women that take male hormones and compete.
Right. So why would it be any different?
Yeah. So, and you know what's funny about
especially if you don't like fully identify with one sex or not.
What's funny about this is people will actually debate, and I fucking love it when I hear them. They'll debate that it doesn't make a difference. She's on female hormones. Her testosterone has been blocked for 5 years or whatever. It doesn't make a difference. Bull fucking shit. If it didn't make a difference, you would see a lot more transgender men competing and winning events too. But you don't. You're not saying, I'm not reading right now John Smith just crushed powerlifting records. Used to be a woman.
Right?
Oh, not going to fucking happen.
Yeah, that's not.
It's not going to happen. So what's really crazy to me is that I don't see a lot of women getting pissed off. If I was a chick, I'd be pissed.
Right.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that's not
Get
fair.
Get out of my sport.
Yeah, that's not
How
fair.
How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's like the ultimate sexism. That's like, patriarchy right there, dude.
It's flipped.
You know what I'm saying?
It's weird.
We rule.
Yeah.
Not only do we win at our shit, we win at your shit.
Come on, dude.
You know what I'm saying? How pissed off would you be, dude?
It's fucked.
If you were a girl, I'd be so angry.
Just stop it.
Anyway, it's
the extreme, bro. There we go. Again, we went one way. We were the other way. 20, 30 years ago, we were so far the other way. way, and now we're on the other end of the spectrum now. Hopefully we find somewhere in the middle.
It's just, like I said, people are so afraid of offending anybody that now, they're going to just totally throw
away. Where is this legal? This isn't legal in all, not all federations.
This was international.
Okay, yeah, but there's not some, I bet you there's some organizations that this is not.
The World Master Games. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Olympics, I'm not sure. I won't even say it, but I think the Olympic weightlifting committee said that, yeah, this is cool. It's shocking to me, but I really think they're just afraid of
the backlash.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah.
Inside, especially now that they give the word out, you got to be thinking to yourself, like, fuck, this is not fair.
Bro.
Right?
And you know what? There was, who was, I don't remember her name, but there was a transgender woman that was fighting in MMA.
The MMA, yeah, I hear about that.
Did you see that? So have you seen those fights?
No, but I heard it was not.
She fucked him up.
It was
I mean, again, used to be a man, right? Yeah. Goes through the sex change, then enters into MMA, which is a fight.
Like, okay, as a female.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. Okay, yeah. There's definitely individual variances. Yeah. I know there's women that can beat up men. Okay, I'm sure Ronda Rousey could beat the fuck out of most guys or whatever. There's all these individual variances, but you take 100 men and you take 100 women, you put them in a fucking room and you say, all right, everybody fight to the death. My money's on the guy. I'm going to put money on the dude. It's just what we
There's
do.
There's nothing sexist about that.
I want to make money. Well. Right. You're saying, like, am I going to bet? I got to make my money.
We're just good at it. We're good at fighting. We're bigger, stronger, aggressive, whatever.
Yeah.
So I watched the videos of this transgender woman fighting these other girls, and she wasn't like out techniquing them. It wasn't like it was like skill. It was like manhandling, like
just like brutal, yeah. Just fists and blood,
yeah, just
and
holding them down.
Shit.
And just
no, I don't feel good about
dude,
that.
I would be so angry if I was a woman.
I just don't feel good.
You imagine
about
you're like you're training hella hard,
right?
Like,
imagine being the athlete who's got a fighter.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not cool.
Like you train your whole life, you're like ready, like fuck, I'm gonna compete in this. Like, all right, here's your opponent. And it's fucking, you know, Justin with a wig.
Yeah, I come in, just
you're like holy shit.
It's like I'm ready.
Yeah, no. I'm not gonna fight you, dude. Yeah.
Can you imagine? We're in my sports bra. I'm ready.
No, yeah. Man. See, now people get mad. Yeah. Like, again, here's the deal. Do what you want, man. It's your body and whatever. I think you should have equal rights across the board. But when it comes to competing, like, there's a reason why men and women are separate in sports. There are no competitions, or very few competitions, physical ones, where men and women compete against each other, because there's inherent in advantages.
Do you think we'll eventually see women in the NFL?
What? I mean, she'd have to be special.
We had some really girls on our team, like in high school.
Having college every once in a while.
But they didn't stay on the team. Like after it just became a thing where it was tough because
not at the highest level, dude.
Yeah. Well, and it was like,
well, what I'm saying is, like, I agree with you, right? Yeah. I agree. Like, just that just seems ridiculous. But so does what we're talking about right now.
Well, if one's good enough to make it, God bless you. But you know, you got to work your ass off, dude. There's no way I could even sneeze about getting in the NFL. And I played, you know, all the way through college and knew, like, the NFL is the 1% of the 1%.
That's the thing. That's, like, at the highest level,
they're freaks.
At the highest level, what you're dealing with are the best of the best within the gender of male.
And it's very, very aggressive.
Yeah, and the male gender physically is just stronger, more aggressive, taller, you know, bigger, all that stuff. So when you're dealing with the best of the best there, the best of the best in the female category for physical, especially for sports like football and stuff like that, it's not going to be at that level. Now, there's individual variances because I like I said, if I hand pick a team of women and I hand pick a team of men, I can construct a female team that'll beat a male team, of course. But yeah, no, it's not fair, dude. It's not fair. No. So anyway, so this woman competed as a man, won no records as a man, then decided, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, was transgender. Now I'm going to compete again. I want to know what goes through a person's mind at that point. You know, don't you think to yourself, like, it's not fair?
Yeah, or maybe other things are more important in my life right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through a lot.
Yeah,
I'm changing a lot. Like, to me, I just feel like maybe competing is just a distraction from this thing I'm trying to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're completely changing.
Or they're just like, I've dominated everybody in the male side. You know, let's try something else.
So my fear, like I said, is that I feel like, you know, dude, people do a lot of crazy shit to win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of fucking crazy
shit. You're not wrong.
And if we glamorize it and we reward it and we talk about it and stuff like that, I guarantee there'll be some people that do it for those reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a majority of them, whatever.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, like you somebody that will cross somebody's fucking mind. Like somebody who's already feels, like I said, that doesn't really fully identify with my sex,
they're just super obsessed with winning, and this happens all the time. People do crazy things to their bodies,
right,
to win anyway. Yeah. And so I can see what you're saying. Somebody could be like, "Hey, look, I'm just gonna compete as a woman because my chances are." And you know what? It happens in bodybuilding. Well, yeah. In bodybuilding, you have men that can't win in the non-drug tested events, so they go into the natural events taking steroids. So they can win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just whatever they can do to win. It's fucked up.
It's just like that's where the lines get kind of blurred for me, you know, because like to each their own. You know, I'm all for celebrating. You know, you want to be, you know, a different sex. That's totally great. You know, if that's what makes you happy and all that. But like when we start talking about this kind of stuff, it gets like, oh, I don't know. You know? Yeah.
It's like, this is tough. I just think it's 100%, like I said.
Well, it's taboo. Nobody wants to talk about it. But at the end of the day, happening.
So it gets ridiculous. It is. It's like it's common sense, and people they're taking common sense and they're throwing it away. And how the fact that people even make arguments against this to me is silly. And again, I'd like to see, I mean, again, there's no female, you know, or excuse me, male transgenders winning at top levels, because this isn't just a local weightlifting event. Like, okay, fine, if it's a local, you know,
right,
you know, the Gilroy, you know, weightlifting championship.
Of weightlifting.
Yeah, these were records. So now there's a record that's set in the masters category of weightlifting, mm-hmm. and some, you know, biological female is going to look at that and be like, okay, that's the record I have to beat.
Yeah,
you know, and it was set by by someone who was born a biological man who had all the advantages of, mm-hmm. you know, growing up. And then there's an argument to say, well, what if the hormones are changed before puberty? You know, this isn't a case like that. This is a person who was a biological man through adulthood, had all those changes.
Yeah, that's even crazier. Developed all the muscle. Yeah,
well, yeah. And we've talked about, I mean, we don't even know about like the whole hyperplasia thing and the ability for us to have created more. Have you been training as a male for 20, 30 years?
I guarantee you take testosterone, you remove testosterone from all men after they were adults, and they're still going to be stronger than women. They're still going to be stronger than the average women. It's just how we are.
The frame of what's still
there. Not just the frame. There's a lot of, there's a lot of factors.
There,
there's a lot of different factors. There's central nervous system and how that fires and all these different things. And so anyway, hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. I would love to see the feminists get, I don't know why the feminists are so quiet. Yeah. It seems like such an obvious issue for feminists to be angry about, doesn't it?
I don't know, dude.
I would get pissed.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I'd be like, wait a minute. You know, you came over here, you transitioned, and now you're taking opportunities away from these biological women who've been training their whole lives. And I don't know. I feel like it would be an issue that
I
would
definitely
be
feel like the female athlete would feel that way for sure. I definitely think if you're a female and you're an athlete, you would agree. I would think, you know what I'm saying? I guess everyone teach their own, whatever. But I think that most people would be like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. This is what I love to do. This is my sport. I play. And then if I had to know, I'd go against somebody who was
the world's gone mad,
a man for 30 years and then switched over.
It's different.
Like, not really fair.
The MMA one was just fucking
hilarious.
That's
just, yeah, I couldn't watch
that, dude. Is she still in the MMA?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she won't be fighting in the UFC, because I'm pretty sure Dana White was not going to sign her. Although, you know, she's not that good. So I'm sure she went against like Cyborg. She'd probably get her ass kicked by Cyborg.
That might be cool.
That'd be kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Although, you know, never mind. Like I said about Cyborg. Questionable. But
moving on, dog.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah. Bring on the, what kind of bird is it?
I don't know. It's the awkward bird.
Oh, you know what? I want to ask, also bring up here in the intro.
Someone asked what the quaw is.
I've been asked that many, many times. Okay. Why is there an eagle sound? And why do you guys call it quaw?
I invented all of it, I'll tell you.
You did. Yeah. You did. This happened.
That's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It was when we've just got in the new studio. And I remember we were doing...
Not in this studio, but the old
one. No, the old one. Yeah.
So the first studio.
And when we first got there, so we just left Doug's house.
Yeah.
So this is fresh into Mind Pump. We're only maybe 30 to 50 episodes deep. And we one of the things, it's the episode that we did where Doug talks about...
His spirit animal.
Mm-hmm. We get into the spirit animals. And that's when it started, right? So that, and that's what gave you the...
And then, because I was controlling the Mind Pump IG page, and so I was putting up posts that were like Q&A, And so,
and then you just pronounced
the thought.
It.
Yeah, the thought process was like Q&A, and I was like, I kept writing like, write your questions. I'm like, that's lame. Let me make the something, you know, like branding out of this or whatever. Like my brain, and I was like, qui qua 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 qua, yeah. You know. and then I just like said it on the podcast. I was like, yeah, qua, and then I added, you know, the qua.
Yeah,
and I did then, that for
and
a
then
while.
Doug did the bird. Then Doug,
and then Doug added the bird.
Then Doug added the bird, and then it became
it's
a
the
thing.
Evolution, man.
So this is the last time I think we should
and
ever
you say Quequa.
I think we should ever tell the story behind it.
Oh, we
I
can't
think
tell.
It should be a secret.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think it should be a secret from now
well,
on.
Well, I like that it actually came up as a question. Like that means we've had people that have come on that haven't listened to. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have come on that haven't listened to the first like 400 yeah. or whatever. Yeah. It's crazy to me that there's still some people that go back and listen to the whole thing. We just had two people on the forum. I saw that this morning that said,
"Oh, finally caught up."
Just finally caught
up. It's like 650 episodes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
How many hours of podcasting is that?
You got to feel like we're best friends, right? Like I feel like I love you. You gotta love me, right? We gotta love each other. You've let me talk in your ear for a fucking hour.
Dude, we've hung out
hours.
And gone through times together.
I've talked
to you more than almost anybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Isn't that weird?
Right in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Quequa. Eagle has landed.
Quequa.
Today's Quequa is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quequa.
The eagle has landed.
Quequa.
Our first question is from DJ Cruz. How do you build a following on social media without being consumed?
This is tough, dude.
It's tough. It's the, well, you know, it reminds me of this book. I've been reading.
Please describe it for me.
It's this book I've been reading. Yeah. I'll let Adam answer this because this is like your wheelhouse.
No, I want you to define it exactly. Dude, you have to answer it.
So these assholes have been giving me shit because a lot of our listeners may not know this because it sounds like a lot because I've said it probably a couple times on this show, but I've also said it several times when we were being interviewed people. So it's on like, you know, 10 different.
It's out there.
Yes, so, yeah. It's like on 10 different podcasts and then plus ours. I've said a couple times. So I've referenced the book Irresistible. Now, for me, it's because I just think that this is such a great hot topic right now because nobody's really, I don't think there's a lot of people talking about it. And I think that Adam Atler with Irresistible and Dr. Andy Galpin with Unplugged are the first two people I feel like that have been really addressing.
They've recognized it as a potential problem.
Right. And the way they articulate it in the book, both those books, is incredible. And I never would have thought to look at it that way. And I think it's a very real thing. I know that I was somebody who didn't even have social media before. I didn't give a fuck about MySpace or Facebook or any of that stuff. Like, I just never was into that. It was not a thing for me. I talked to anyone who I really wanted to talk to that were my friends. Like, if we fucking text or we hung out, right? So that, to me, I never even really cared that much about it. The only reason why I got on was with the intention of building a business out of it. So I went from being someone who never did. Then I was doing it for business reasons. And then I caught myself justifying I'm doing this for business reasons and realizing, like, holy shit, like, sure, I might be working, but I'm also, you know, scrolling too. You know,
it's
what I'm
saying? Weird.
So it's not just.
It's weird how you know they compare it to drugs because of the effect it has on the brain and the addictive properties.
Dopamine hits.
And there are withdrawal. Yeah. There are withdrawal symptoms from, you know, for those of you who are on your apps all the time and on your phone all the time, you know exactly what that's like. Like if you know the feeling you get when you drive off and you realize you forgot your phone. You know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I don't have my phone with me.
Right.
Nobody can get a hold of me.
That's almost like a sign of withdrawal, right? Or I can't check my Instagram. I can't check my Facebook. So it's weird. In fact, it just happened. We were sitting here about to record this episode and Doug, you know, real quick, he's like, hey guys, you know, we need some questions for the Qua episode. And so all of us get on our phones to check the Instagram page so we can find the Qua. And we all of us got derailed.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were checking other
squirrel,
shit.
Squirrel, squirrel.
All of a sudden, 15 minutes later, Doug's like, hey, do you guys, you know, what's the matter? There's no questions or whatever?
There's 230 questions. Can you
and
pick
And all of us
are
two? Doing other shit.
Yeah.
It's really fucking crazy.
It is. So that's why I like to talk about, here's my thing. Like, I'll never claim to be the smartest or best guy in the fitness industry. But one thing that I've always done is like, as I go through this process myself of learning about myself and working on my relationship with food, exercise, emotionally, self-image, all the things that we talk about, you know, there's moments where I feel like are very like aha or big in this journey, in this process. And this is one for me right now that, wow, this could be very easy. I can justify all the consumption of social media.
Well, to piggyback on that, I saw immediately how it was affecting my relationship with my wife and how we recognize it even like as, you know, phones, these like it got more and more like we got consumed with them. And like I would look at stuff before I went to sleep. Like I never did that before. It started to get like the iPhones got a lot better. And it just became this thing. Like we kind of joke about it. Be like, yeah, at some point we'll be like just looking at our phones and then putting them down and all that. And like kind of joking about it. And then realize that really fucking happened. And it was like, I wasn't talking to her. She wasn't talking to me. You know, I'm on my phone, like doing all this business stuff that I thought was important, which is really just, you know, scrolling left to right and all these different things.
You just hit something key is that it was the iPhone was like the real big, when you started getting like,
that
so
was it, man.
Think about how our text message, even our threads are right now. You can even like if Sal says something,
I can like it.
Yeah. You could like it or do an emoji attached to it, or you could put, you know, and so now, and you could have group conversations, lots of people. So there's all these things that are feeding this dopamine rush, right? From all, this is awesome. Oh, he liked this. Oh, she disagreed. So you could have so much going on that you could, I mean, when we start,
it pulls
when,
you away.
When the first phones came out, it was like the analog, you know, and the text message, you had to go three times at the button.
That flip one. That was
yeah. It was
cool.
Like, no, it was lame. You just said something short, got your point across, whatever. You'd rather call them. But now, like the whole texting.
People get irritated when you call them now.
No, they do.
Yeah.
Like, no.
You, yeah. This better be important.
Yeah, why don't you text me, let me know you're going to call me.
Right.
So building a following on social media requires a few things. One of the things it requires is consistency. Now, that also is what makes it difficult to not become consumed, because if I'm really focused on building my social media page, let's say I'm a personal trainer and I want to build an online coaching business and I want to use a platform like Instagram, you know, one of the key things that you can do, one of the fundamental things that you need to do to build your page is to post consistently and regularly. So, okay, three posts every day or four posts every day or two posts every day or whatever, but do them every single day. Just be dogmatic about it and be consistent. That's one of the best things you could do to build not just a base of followers, but also build value, which is more important to the followers that you do get. Now, the problem with that, again, is that you're on there, right? You're on there a lot, and it's giving you excuse for, you know, to be on there, and you can become consumed with it. So one thing that I do that I should be better at, or I'm trying to be better at, is I schedule it. So if I know I'm scheduling it in the morning, I do one post at this time. At night, I do another post at this time. And I make it just
if
about
we,
that.
If
everything
we were really
is-
organized, if we were really organized, what we would all do, and I wish I would do this too, you could plan out that at the beginning of the day or even at the beginning of the week, you can actually plan all your posts. So in a perfect world, and this is why this is a weakness of ours and why we struggle with this.
It's organizational.
Right. This is a time management thing, 100%. And everybody in this room, if that was a weakness that we had in common, that would be one of them for sure. And so I think people that are really organized and really good about this is you work hard for one day and you plan out all these timed posts and everything and the content that's going to go, which would actually take some time and probably isn't easy for a lot of people the first time. But if you did that, that would be the ultimate, because then you could just have it set to where it hits, it drops. Now, the drawback of that,
it's the engagement side.
Right, is the engagement side. Half of why people follow and grow and come on is, and that's probably the biggest mistake I see pages, including myself, I did at one point. So I initially spiked up to like 20,000 people, and then I got distracted and busy with other stuff about Mind Pump. I used it first to get enough people listening to me to that I get them to listen to Mind Pump. And then once Mind Pump catapulted beyond my Instagram, I just kind of like whatever about it, and I started to see people fall off completely, and I just was just posting and I wouldn't talk to people. Well, I got back to engaging and all that, and then then right away it started to ramp back up. So engagement with your audience and talking to your people are the most important thing. I mean, why I might follow you because you do cool posts, right? And you have cool photos. But if I'm going to read your content and shit, and I'm going to talk to you, and you have my attention, like you got to engage with them for sure.
Yeah. So for me personally, so I'll give you an example of what I did yesterday. So typically what I'll do is what I've been trying to do lately is I try to come in to work if I can early. And the two things that I try to accomplish before we all get, you know, to mind pump work is I try to do one social media post. And lately I've also been trying to write a blog. And so far I've been relatively consistent. Now knowing that, and I do that, then I tell myself that if I do check my social media, it's literally maybe a few times a day, check, engage, and get off. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. Again, like I said earlier, we got kind of stuck. The second time that I'll try and get on there is at night. So like last night, I get home late. I've obviously I'm kind of fighting a cold. So I made myself some of the Four Sigmatic Reishi, which I love, by the way. Totally calms me down, relax. It's also good for my immune system. So I make that and I make it hot. So it's kind of like a tea. And I sit there and I do my second post and I allow myself enough time on there if I finish my post to finish my tea. Once I'm done with my tea, and it's just a physical representation of like a timer. You know what I mean? It's like an hourglass for me. Mm. When I'm done with my Four Sigmatic Reishi tea last night, I told myself, when I'm done with this, I'm done with this post. And I was. I finished my tea or whatever, my Reishi, turned off my phone, turned off the electronics, and you know, and then I had 30, 45 minutes before going to bed. And so it reminds me of, you know, managing food intake or anything else before you get to the state where it becomes natural. You got to kind of set the structure.
Yeah,
you got to have a structure first.
Right, to set the boundaries. And I think that like those books you mentioned, these are the only type of books that are even like addressing this is like with urgency. Like this is getting out of control, and it's like inherently, I think people listening, they feel that, like how much time they spend on the phone and how much time it's distracting them from like real life activities and engagement with like real human beings. And I think we all kind of know it's getting to that point. Like you really have to check it as like, you know, where do I set up my boundaries? How do I create, you know, a healthier relationship with this process?
Well, the behavioral addiction part is so obvious when you talk about how we open this, right? I mean, we were focused trying to get work done.
Yeah.
And literally
at work,
yeah. Right? Literally distracted and just, of course, we're all open and honest about it. Like, I totally got fucking sidetracked. Oh, so did I. It's like, fuck, dude, that's crazy. Like, that wouldn't happen. Crazy. That shouldn't happen, you know? But that's because that's how it starts. It's like a slippery slope.
I also
right?
liked, I also liked Drama's approach to it. He had an additional phone that was, you know, he would just designate completely for business related things, emails and social media accounts. I just don't know if that's the move or not. I might actually try that at some point. We'll see.
Yeah, I thought about the same thing. I don't know if that would help me or not. I know
just add more.
Yeah, I just think that at the same token too, okay? When you're trying to build something, okay, there's going to be your balance is going to be you're going to be out of balance regardless, right?
Yeah.
So you know, we talk about how important that is. I only started cutting back on my social media after it got to a point to where the business is up and running. If we were still not, I'd be the first one to admit that I'd be probably on it morning till night, all night long. Like, we just because I'm trying to build something. And I would know 100% this is not healthy. This is not ideal for me. I'm probably my relationships are suffering. All that did happen to me. But I communicated that with my partner heading into that, saying, like, listen, you know how I get when I'm focused on one thing. I'll get tunnel vision on it. It's not a lack of me loving you or not being there. This is just let me get here. We'll get to a place. And then once we have more time, I'll carve it. And that's just, to me, I think that's, you got to understand that too, because I know Sal, I know you're really ramped up your post lately, and you can see by the traction that your Instagram is in comparison to all of our pages right now. Mm-hmm. You're doing almost double the ads as I am. You're also doing 2 to 3 times the posts as I am too. It's that frequency and making sure you're engaging with your people, and you're naturally going to add. And I'm a terrible example now. If you're someone who's just now coming on board, because we had already, once I got to the point where I said, Mind Pump is bigger than my Instagram. I just said like, okay, I'll just manage it. And that's what I do now. Now I manage it. I post, I talk to my people when I can, but it's not a priority. If you're trying to grow your social media, yeah, you're going to fucking live on that for a while. Mm-hmm. You're going to live on it a lot. And and the more you do, the more you post, the better off you're going to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next question is from Godzilla 11112. Periodization within the same week versus periodization for weeks on end.
Excellent.
Honestly, I know we structure it a certain way, but it's...
Well, there's always some form of periodization going on.
Right, and so they've done studies on the groups like this. Yeah. They've done groups like this that have periodized it weekly, and then they do ones where they don't change anything for like 4 to 6, and then what groups make the biggest difference. And really in the studies, if you're periodizing it at all, like if you're making sure whether you're manipulating within the week or every week, whatever, you're fine. Yeah, I mean, my recommendation to somebody would be do what you like to do and experiment with both, because maybe your body responds better to one way than the other, or maybe you tend to gravitate towards a way of training already. So doing the opposite is obviously going to send a louder signal, right, for growth or change. So I think that would be my advice to someone.
I think when you're speaking in terms of, so here's the thing, I prefer periodization weekly. Weeks. So I prefer staying in a particular type of training, tempo and rep range and whatever for 2 to 4 weeks before I move to the next one, for a few different reasons. One of which is it takes me at least a week or so before I feel like I get the central nervous system adaptation happening. So what I mean by that is, if I always train low reps.
Well, especially with big movements, dude.
Yeah.
Big gross motor movements, it's one thing to change up, periodize like some fucking bicep exercises and shit.
Well, that's the thing. Like if I train, let's say I train low reps for 3 weeks, I'm just training maximal strength for the next 3 weeks. When I switch to high reps, the first week, man, I'm just getting enough endurance to even fucking do the set. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then it's the second and third set where I really can push myself and I see the changes. It also helps me identify what I'm getting exactly out of this training style and modality.
What exercises am I currently doing right now, and what rep range is actually making the greatest change?
This is how I identified with myself.
It's hard to do that when you do that.
Dude, this is how I identified with myself that when I lifted heavy, like really, really heavy, I would get this kind of dense, hard feel and look to my muscles. And if I did, higher rep kind of pumping, movements or whatever, I noticed that I'd get this fuller, rounder look to my muscles. And I would notice these specifics, and they're subtle, by the way. So to the average person, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I can, because I'm very in tune with my body, but I wouldn't be able to do that, or I wouldn't be able to connect
identify it.
Yeah. Yeah, to connect it to a type of training if I changed my workout every single time.
Which this was me. I was this guy. Like I was known for this. In fact, I used to say this. I used to say, I've never repeated the same workout ever once. Yeah. Like I used to say that. Like that for years I said that because
confused the fuck.
Right. It was really, and that's what it was I was constantly flipping and changing everything, and it worked well for me. And because of that, and then there's some benefits to that. I was very mobile. I was fast. I had endurance. I was strong, but I was not great at any of those.
Yeah.
I was good at all of them because I was I never let my body specialize long enough in a phase for me to get really, really and see the major steps. So when I really started to periodize and I started to break it up like in our phases and maps, when I started programming like that, huge difference. Yeah. Yeah. Huge difference. But with that comes the pitfalls, because then I also struggled with sticking in phases, wanting to stay there because I see the change. Oh man, also I start living heavy. I see the denser, all this stuff is happening in my body. So then I fall in love with it, find myself fucking around with it for way too long.
I went somewhat similar in a trap of where, like, you get comfortable in a certain style for quite a bit. And so for me, like, I would get into this sort of rhythm of like more functional style training for like way too long. And like really, like the benefit to that though is like building up all this work capacity in that direction.
Right.
But then I became really shitty at like things that I normally used to be good at.
Right.
And so, so a little bit of a difference there, but like I'm definitely like in kind of more leaning on what Sal was saying as far as like I want to be able to measure that, but then move forward. So I'm still progressing, but I can identify, okay, what's really happening with my body, and that usually takes at least three, four weeks for me to even like realize.
There's the mental component too of knowing what the intent is and how to have the intention in your workouts when you're in a particular phase. So if I take the average person who, let's say buys one of our programs and wants to follow the workout, there's a mentality and an intent that goes into a phase one type of workout or a phase two type of workout or a phase three type of workout. So if I take that person and Monday is phase one, Wednesday is phase two, and Friday is phase three, it's more difficult for them to get in the intent to really understand like the purpose and to feel what they're supposed to feel with the workout versus them me saying, you're going to practice phase one for 3 weeks. You know, by that third week, they start to feel like I'm getting fucking good at this, and then they switch. Right. Versus the like changing all the time where, look, when you're doing a phase three, so phase three is more supersets, it's higher reps, it's faster pace, totally different intent. It's a different mentality going into your workout.
Which is why, obviously, weights are going to get reduced. You're not going to be nowhere near as strong because you're not giving yourself rest periods, higher repetitions.
It's a totally different
you
feel.
And you got to be okay with that, because that's another thing.
Yes.
This is a mental fuck that happens to people is you know better. You've been training in a 6 to 8 rep range or a low rep range for long, and you know you need to transition out. You start doing your, 15 reps of chest press, and now your dumbbell weight is cut in half or your barbell weight's cut in half.
And you're an ego check.
It is an ego check, and you do it one time, and then you're like, fuck that, I'm going back to the heavy ass weight. I know, motherfucker,
I've
done this.
My life story?
That's why I speak so passionate about it, because I know motherfuckers be doing this right now. Yeah. Or else everyone would be changing, looking badass in the gym when I walk in there. Still, people look soft as fuck because they're not programming right.
Soft as fuck.
They do, or the same. They look the same. Sometimes I shouldn't say not all of them look soft as fuck, but a lot of them look the same, and they're not. Their body's not changing. And I know they're working hard, but they're working hard at the same things, and their body's so efficient at it.
At the end of the day, do what works best for you. But ultimately, if I had to pass my opinion, most people will probably do best if they stay in a phase or in a periodization sequence or whatever for at least a few weeks before moving to the next one.
I agree, as long as you keep an eye on the pitfalls, that's the only thing that comes with that.
Next up is Paleo Practitioner. Are you familiar with Gretchen Rubin's personality framework? If so, which traits are you guys?
What the fuck
is that? I have no idea what that is.
What is that?
Yeah, I know. I didn't know either. So I guess I'm just going to read it off, and then we can kind of like identify which
one. Well, tell us why before you're reading to it. Are you just going to read it?
So it sounds like it sounds like it's one of those like it feels like is it one of those tests where they tell you like you're the fucking this or you're the leader.
Oh, is this like what Josh Trent was talking about?
Was it?
It is
what he was
that like on your guys' podcast?
Oh, that's right. That's another one of those ones where we didn't invite you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I didn't realize we've left you that many times.
I know, you guys have really spawned off and created a new thing.
It makes us like you more, dude.
Hurts my feelings.
What do they call it? Like distance is...
I heard Sal on the phone with CBS yesterday, dude, talking to them about something. Whoa. Yeah.
That's cool. Whatever. I'm talking to Fox. It's fine.
Whatever.
No problem. All right, let's hear.
So, okay, so Gretchen Rubin. So it says in a nutshell, upholders is one of the...
Personality frameworks.
Okay. Respond readily to outer and inner expectations. Questionnaires is another one. Question all expectations. They'll meet an expectation if they think it makes sense. Rebels resist all expectations, outer and inner alike. And then there's obligers. God, I can't read. Meet outer expectations, but struggle to meet expectations they impose on themselves.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm for sure obliger then. Sal's a questioner.
Really?
In the question, they actually identified you as that.
Was a questioner?
Yeah.
What is the questioner again?
So the questioner, question all expectations. They'll meet an expectation if they think it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? One of the.
What do you I have you no are, idea what I am.
You don't know what you are?
No.
Really? I think you're the rejector one, the one that rejects everything.
Yeah, you're the asshole.
Reject first and then
What is it? What's it?
So the rebels resist all rebel. Expectation. Okay, yeah.
I think you're the rebel. Right. Yeah. I think Justin's the rebel. I think I'm the obliger, and I think you're questioner. The questioner.
You know, it's funny.
That's interesting.
This made it there was a couple times in school where it was difficult for me because they would tell me to do something, and if I didn't see the purpose in it, I just refuse. You know what I mean? Like you need to memorize this. And it's like, why?
Yeah, because I feel there's some of it, some of those, and each one of those, there's a little bit.
Doug, do you know anything about this guy? I feel like this is something you would know.
I know nothing about it.
Okay, my bad. I wonder. So you know what's funny about these tests is it's like they create them.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? Horoscopes.
Which one do you feel is
right,
you?
Right. That's the only, I mean, and that's not like a knock on people that, like, I'm sure there's some great
some
psychology
there. I'm sure
Gretchen
Rubin knows stuff.
Yeah. No, doesn't it, though? It's like,
I don't
if
know.
If you read
it, the horoscope's been around for thousands of years, so it stood the test of time, Gretchen. I don't know if your thing is effective.
Very true.
Do you guys fit your horoscope?
I totally do.
Sometimes, sometimes I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, no, for
me
sure.
Me too. I'm Aquarius, and it's the weird thing about it is if you read, anytime I read, I'm always like, get out of here, and I read it, and it's always like describing my personality
to the T.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's so, and you're a Scorpio, right?
Yeah.
So yours is like, what is a Scorpio supposed to be like?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, look it up.
You don't even know.
Very sexually fiery or something.
Of course I know.
Right.
I think
that's what I
you know.
Just
great
girls
too?
Would always come up to me. I'm totally a
you
Scorpio.
Know what, what's funny is that everybody loves their own sign because each sign like talks to you well.
He's a Scorpio.
Yeah.
I can tell.
I'm so proud to be.
I got it. Okay. Hold on a second.
Nobody says you're such an Aquarius.
Here's the positive.
Nobody tells me that.
Here's the positive traits of a Scorpio: focused, brave, balanced. Faithful,
whatever, dude.
Ambitious, intuitive.
Yep.
Jealous.
All the above.
And secretive.
Jealous? No.
Adam's very jealous.
No, I'm not.
Dude, one time I was fucking texting that other fitness guy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're so right.
He was so pissed. Yeah. Let's see what a I'm going to look up mine, see what those are. Justin, what are you?
I'm an Aquarius too, bro.
Oh.
Yeah, we share the same horror.
Scope. Yeah.
Yeah, remember your guys. That's my negative and my
was that all your stuff?
You just gave me the what was bad about me or what was good about
me. No, that was all, those are the traits.
They don't have like a normally they have.
I mean,
a
I can go into a whole thing, but you know, we don't want to do that. Who cares? let me see.
He's wait till we get to mine.
Positive qualities of Aquarius: truthfulness, just, curious, affectionate. I love you guys. Personality.
Just.
Frank and imaginative. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the negative qualities.
Uh-oh.
Unpredictable, detachment, tendency to go off track, and inefficiency.
Oh, these are right on.
Oh, my God.
That's weird.
Bro,
us. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The Aquarius-born people must be careful of any kind of addiction. Interesting.
Now, do you have... Have you ever tried to... look up like so pair our personalities so you can do they do this thing like matches.
How do we match with Adam?
See how Aquarius and Scorpios match together.
Aquarius.
It's a menage a trois.
Compatibility with compatibility with Scorpio. Let's see what it says here.
This is so fun.
This is weird.
What are we doing?
I don't know. This, you know what's funny?
I'm curious. I really
do you know
am.
How many people do you know
it's
how many
great.
People do this when they first meet like another person they're dating
to. Like that matters
after the first time someone introduced me to this. I'll never forget. It was like I was 25 years old. This girl that I was hanging out with, she shows me this, right? And I'm
was
like,
was it just because it like you resonated
so hard
you're just like
so
yeah
hard.
That is me,
right? And then what really fucked with me was then I went back and went, okay, if this is real, let me go back. And I went back to all the girls that I dated and their birthdays, and I looked them up.
It all played out.
And all the stuff that we had problems in our relationship was like right onto their sign.
But your girl's a Scorpio too.
Yeah, we're one day apart.
Are Scorpios compatible with Scorpios?
So they say it's either absolute disaster or it's incredible fireworks. That's what they say.
So here's the Scorpio and Aquarius. So if me, you, and Justin.
If we all decided to make it real.
We're all,
you know what I mean? Like we got drunk.
We kind of are dating. We're just not, no sex.
We just got really drunk.
Contact between a Scorpio and an Aquarius can be truly intense.
Ooh.
As squaring signs, they should have a very troublesome contact, but the sign of Scorpio exalts the ruler of Aquarius, Uranus. I don't know why they have Uranus in there.
Why are we Uranus?
Hold on.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like
these
this
signs, this is the best part, these signs combined represent the ultimate sexual...
Put your stinger in Uranus.
They represent the ultimate sexual freedom, a place with no restrictions or taboos.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that not us or what?
Well,
this is what's happening.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Hey, if there's ever...
It sounds spicy, though.
If there's ever like a... Like some kind of like nuclear attack while we're at work.
I mean, we would have really hot action together.
Because you know what's funny is we have this cube that we've built for the podcast, but it's probably bomb proof. This thing we built it to be soundproof.
Feels like it.
I believe
so. Like shit goes down.
You cannot hear my screen.
We're stuck in this room.
We're still podcasting hard.
Yeah.
Next question is from Black All Training Nutrition. How would you alter frequency of MAPS aesthetic if you were running it on gear versus natural?
Oh.
So I've actually had a lot of people ask me this, like, what's the difference in training between somebody who's on gear versus someone who's natural? Now, the bottom line is this.
Well, really, just recovery.
Yeah, the rules still apply, though.
They do still apply.
It's the same it's the same stuff.
And the individual variance is still going to be crazy.
That's right.
Of course.
Because there's going to be genetic freaks that recover faster, can handle more volume, don't get achy joints, don't get as inflamed. Like, so 100% natural, not natural. There still is this gray, huge gray area of a major individual variance within both those categories. But when you are, what it does is it allows you to get away with more, basically. That's so if you took you natural versus you on, you know, that's where you could, and I flirted with that, with those lines of how much volume that's training 7 days a week inside the gym. So, and I worked up to that volume. I didn't start at 7 days.
Yeah, it wasn't like you just got on gear and like, boom, 7 days in the gym.
Exactly. And that would be a mistake too, because like you said, the same rules still apply. It would still behoove me to actually just add a little bit of volume over time versus all of a sudden going balls to the wall. So that could be a mistake that you can make, and the steroids will respond still well. And so you'll misjudge it or miscalculate it. So that's the thing you got to be careful with, like, okay, I'm going to take gear and then do something. It's like, well, now you're playing with like this, you're playing a new game that you've never played before, and you're playing by different rules because you now have got this in there. Why don't you play it first natural? And that's why I would tell anybody who hired me on for coaching is, listen, I'm not anti-testosterone or taking steroids at all. How could I be? But at the same time, I think there's a smart way to do this. Like, let's train you correctly, naturally. Mm-hmm. Let's learn about your body, about how it recovers and it responds to certain adaptations. Like, let's figure out what that is. And then if you really want to take this to the next level and we want to go pro and do all that shit, by all means, who am I to tell you not to?
So one of the mistakes I see with people when they get on gear is because they now can do more, they do a lot more, even though it's not necessarily benefiting them. So, yes, you know, let's say somebody trained, you know, full body 3 days a week, did focus sessions on the off days like we have in MAPS Aesthetic, and then they get on gear, and now they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to throw in an extra full body workout because I know my body can handle it. What you need to understand is recovery doesn't necessarily mean adaptation. So although you may recover faster,
right,
you may not, it doesn't necessarily mean you should push it to that limit, because it's not going to necessarily mean you're going to adapt better. Yes, you'll get away with it, but you may just be doing more workouts for nothing.
That's the problem, is you actually, you know, let's be honest. If someone took steroids, all of a sudden ran MAPS Black and they full throttled it 7 days a week, never took days off, you're going to build some muscle.
Sure.
Yeah. 100% you're going to build some muscle. You're going to build a lot of muscle, actually. But then you're going to hit a hard plateau. And when you hit that hard plateau, there's only one direction to go at that point. Yeah. Like, you just don't have more time and days. And there's a much smarter approach.
Yeah, basically, if what you want to understand with anabolic steroids is you just can do more. So if you're whatever you're doing now, that's your genetic, your recovery, your adaptation. That's what your makeup allows you to do. You throw steroids on top of that, you could just do more of that.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean, though I want to be clear, doesn't necessarily mean that doing more
is necessarily ideal.
Is going to give, or give you faster results. The problem is it's hard to judge, you know, because here's the thing, like if you're natural and you're like, oh, I'm going to get on a cycle of gear and, oh, now that I'm on a cycle of gear, I'm going to add two extra workouts and then you gain, you know, 12 pounds of muscle. Was it the extra workouts? Was it the gear? Was it both? Would that have happened had you not added the extra workouts, right? Like, you know, because I've done this with supplements. Like, some supplements will improve recovery, you know, certain amino acids I've noticed, you know, maybe if I'm pushing myself to the limit.
I've done this with athletes and I've shown them, like, and this is why I think it's so important, because almost every time I've done this, it always surprises the athlete how shredded, how badass they actually end up looking without it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then like I said, like, yeah, absolutely. If you were a kid, and I've had this, amateur comes to me, I look at his physique and I tell him, like, yeah, you have a good structure for this sport. You can do well, whatever like that. Like, yeah, and, you know, I have the aspirations of being a pro. Okay. What steroid cycles? Like, wait, whoa, we don't need to. We're at the amateur level right now. You can go win an amateur show all natural in IFB, in the NPC easily. You really can. But you just got to be, you got to have the package, this, if you had that. But then I'll take them and then I'll get them in shape. Then they see themselves for that and they're like, oh shit. Like, yeah. I've had guys who are, had every plan, every intent to get on a cycle and run. And then they end up seeing what they can actually get to, what they can get their body to perform like when they eat correctly and they program right. And it's like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and at that point, if you want to go to the next level, I understand, that's fucking to each their own, right?
Which is interesting to listen, you know, to you describe that and that entire process, because I remember us being at lunch and this guy mentioning a certain like pro maker, let's just say, out there that, you know, the first go to out of anything is the drug schedule.
You're right.
Like, that's that. This is what everything.
Oh, that is so.
Oh, that guy that trains pro bodybuilders?
Yeah.
Pro looks like a meatball?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That is the most common theme in the bodybuilding circuit is, yep. I mean, everybody, that was what everyone was talking about. That's what I was like, when I was backstage, it was always about, oh, what are you running? What are you running? This, mm-hmm. that, you know, and everybody's talking about what they're stacking on top of what. And it was just like, whoa, dude, like, this, we're amateurs right now. Are you kidding me? Like, you don't need all that gear for that. Like, it's crazy. So that, but that's what's happened, because science has come along. We have learned about all these different hormones and steroids and shit that we can take to get better, faster recovery and metabolize fat faster and do all this cool shit that we didn't know before. And so everyone's stacking it. It's like, whoa, dude.
No, and your body actually stops responding to these anabolic hormones.
Yeah, it gets adapted to that like anything else.
Yeah, it starts to get adapted. And the other thing too is, if you take, you know, let's say you're training again. Let's say you're training 5 days a week and you're working out hard, and somebody gives you anabolic, or you start taking anabolic steroids, you're still going to be increasing, you know, the stress or the volume, I should say, you're putting on your body, because you're going to get stronger also. So it's not like all your variables stay the same, so you have to throw more on there anyway. Even if you kept the workout the same, you're just going to be lifting more weight. That's another variable that you've increased. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to think to yourself like, oh shit, now that I'm on gear, I need to add all kinds of extra work to maximize it. My recommendation is this, and I've trained, you know, clients and athletes who've taken anabolics. I tell them, don't change your workout. Get on it. Don't change your workout. Let's see what happens first. And then we start playing around, because I've seen too many times people will go on gear, change the workout right away, which, by the way, gear takes a while. You know, steroids take a while to give you some response anyway. So if you take it today, you ain't going to feel it for at least a couple weeks, at least, right? You're not going to start to notice, really. So, you know, people will change the workout right away and almost throw themselves into a state of overtraining before they even give it a chance to kind of catch up. But at the end of the day, again, it's really, it just lets you do more, or lets you get away with more with your workouts. So that being said, go to YouTube, Mind Pump TV. We post new videos all the time. It's all different content.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.